The Weeknd.
The Fan. Happy to be here with you. We are halfway home on a Victory Friday. Yes, it feels so good to be 1-0 in the month of June. Cannot put all of that gross, caked up toothpaste that you left on the counter. You cannot put that back in the tube from a terrible April and a terrible May. We start fresh. We turn the page and we move on and you know, try to dominate this month. That's what we're always going to try to do that here on Ben and Woods. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, our executive producer. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor here as well. Benjamin titillated all of us with a tease about his wife. Happy birthday, Shell.
Yep.
It's her June birthday
2nd.
Today.
June 2nd. Happy birthday to my wife, Shelley.
Okay, happy
she's
birthday.
She's kind of having to share the day. It's also our son's high school graduation. So she's actually going to be doing her celebration more tomorrow.
That's probably a good idea.
And she's doing something that I don't know. You may have done this before. It might be up your wife's alley. I had never heard of it before, but she's going out to Joshua Tree and going to the Integratron in Landers, California. Have you ever heard of the Integratron?
I don't know what the Integratron is.
Okay,
I have done, much to probably no one's surprise, the Joshua Tree solo retreat to, you know, find myself. I've done that.
Okay.
I wanted to go see where Graham Parsons died. So I did. Drove out there, went to that hotel, did the whole thing, and stayed out there and, you know, drank and played guitar and very, very searcherish behavior.
So some people growing up in Southern California may have heard of this. The Integratron was built back, I believe, in the 1950s or 60s by a guy who was really into UFOs, a guy named George Van Tassel. Looks like a little observatory, like for contacting and being contacted by aliens out in the desert. And he had all these weird claims. It looks like a round, like a cupola structure, like an observatory sort of thing. But it's in the desert. He said it was capable of things like rejuvenation, anti-gravity, time travel, like some sort of nexus of the universe. You went to that place on the way to Yuma.
Paulie and I did. Center of the Universe.
Center of the Universe. Was amazing.
This is one of the best times we've ever had.
This is something a little bit similar, but now
driving down the 8, what the hell is that?
I'm turning around.
It before the next exit, I said, oh, we got to do the
turnaround.
He passed away in the 70s.
He took a lot of LSD.
Probably, yeah. And then there's some new owners. But now, so they have turned this into, apparently it's got this perfect like sonic like structure acoustically, and they do things called sonic baths where you go in and you lay like on a mat or a cot, and you have these bowls that have these frequencies, and you sit lay in there for like an hour, and they play these frequencies, and you take a bath on these quartz bowls just in the sound.
And
it's supposed to have
sound.
A rejuvenating, calming, like good for your mental health sort of effect to spend some time with these like perfect sounds in the sound bath inside the Integratron way up there, like in Joshua Tree in the middle of nowhere, California.
You may think that I would poo-poo this. I think this sounds awesome.
That's what I thought you might be interested in.
I really want to know how it goes and whether or not I should do it.
So I know you're a fan of the Arctic Monkeys.
I am,
right?
Yeah.
So they recorded part of their song Secret Door at the Integratron.
Oh, that's cool.
In 2008 as well.
They've done a lot of stuff out there in Joshua Tree.
But what makes Shelley such a great, great wife is that she said, I don't have to go.
Nothing would have made me happier, though, content-wise, to have you back here on Monday and say, tell me about your Integratron experience. All right, we shouldn't do this after losses.
Now, we're not acoustically perfect here.
Well, I'm pretty good, yeah. So... So calming. I love it.
Do you feel younger or rejuvenated in any way?
Hurting my ears.
Is it? I like it.
I don't think it's for everyone.
I really like
it. But for some people, they swear by this. They absolutely swear by it.
I mean, I'm doing ayahuasca.
She's
I'm
also
doing
going
that
up
in the
to
next
that,
year or so. I have to try.
There's a music venue that's close up there called Pappy and Harriet's.
Pappy and Harriet's is the
she's
coolest
She's going there
place.
And she thinks it's the coolest. So she's doing that as well. It's not just the Integratron, but going to go up there for her birthday.
I want to go to the Integratron very badly now.
Now you have that option at some point.
Very into that. Very into that. I like the sound of those bowls. There are people that do those bowls, and I think, you know, I'm into golf. I still like golf. I just haven't played in a while because of my hands. I still play baseball. But I could see me years down the road, that being my bit, making sounds with bowls, much to my wife's chagrin.
Like a DJ spinning records, but
bowls of water all over my desk, and me in a robe and a beard, just making sounds with bowls. I'm very, very into that. I'm very, very into that whole scene. And you got the. Was it? You don't have to go, or I want to go. I don't want.
Well, she's gonna stay out there for a couple of days. She loves the warmth, the desert, the hot, and
the desert too.
I've got to work on Sunday, so it would have been a quick change. We all have to stay today for
graduation.
So I would have just been going all the way out, and it's not. It's like from here, it's like three and a half hours. It's up there, and she said that's too much driving for
it's
you
a
to
piece.
Do. So,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, I decided she was probably right about.
Would
that.
Would you have gone?
I would have tried. I mean, yeah.
The Integratron.
If I was off for a few days, I would have gone to see what it was all about.
To do it.
Yeah. I don't think it can hurt, can it?
No, it's not going to hurt you.
Head's not going to explode or anything.
What about ayahuasca?
I don't know about that.
Come on.
I don't like being altered.
Do it together.
You've never been altered. You don't know that you don't like being altered.
No, remember that time I had the
Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah.
This is a different experience from what I've heard. I think you would really enjoy it. We'll try it.
Today is also Lou Gehrig.
The sealed day. Little package yeah. looked very reputable.
He was so sick, and I gave him Alka-Seltzer. This is like first. Yeah, this is like the first couple months, and he took it, and he was. It got like Paulie. What's in Alka-Seltzer? Like aspirin, essentially.
Right.
Aspirin and Sprite.
That's like some special street version of Alka-Seltzer.
Now we slowed that down a little bit.
Just a little.
But still
hear him slurring.
He was out of his gourd that day. Well, that sounds awesome. I'm now really want to go to the. My wife's rolling. I can see her driving the kids to school, rolling her eyes right now because she knows that I'm going to hit her with an Integratron trip in the next. Year.
I feel like Hannah might like that, though. No?
I don't know. I can't tell. I don't know if she would or not.
I mean, Lauren Nancaro's daughter, though, felt like
she's not
it's
a
kind
searcher.
Of a little hippie-ish. And,
she's not a searcher. Yeah. She's not a hippie. Right. She's not a searcher at all. I'm the searcher. I'm the one constantly looking down the horizon, looking inward. That's not how she rolls.
If anyone's been to the Integratron, give us a call.
Oh, weigh in, yeah.
833-288-0973. Let us know.
I'm very interested in both of them.
What my wife
I
has
told
in
you
store
guys I would have done the Aaron Rodgers retreat. I think that sounds incredible.
How long was it?
It was three days. I couldn't have done three. There's no way. I'll try anything. Like it's like a cold plunge. They always say, "Hey, to make a cold plunge work, you got to stay in there for 8 minutes." I'm like, "I'll give you two. I'll do two and still feel I'll get the idea. I'm not doing eight. I can't do what they... So I can't do three.
Could you do 2 days?
It's meeting in the middle. I don't... I could do a day and a half, Paulie.
Like arrive late in the day.
Late in the day.
You're a dabbler.
Fall asleep in the dark.
I'm a dabbler. I'm a dabbler.
You're
That's
a dabbler.
I will not fully commit. Yes, man. You have just psychoanalyzed me. I'm a dabbler. That's what I am. Yeah. I'm a dabbler. Paulie, I couldn't do three. Three is too much. And I'm a quitter, too, so I would walk out after a day and a half and be like, I'm not doing this. Can't do this anymore. And when I'm ready, I'm ready. You know, you guys know that. Oh, that's fascinating to me. All right, Integratron. Well, that sounds awesome, and I'd like to do that. And I'd also like to learn how to make sounds with bowls at some point.
On a serious note, today is Lou Gehrig Day. Want to shout out to our friend Sarah Lang.
Yes.
Mark Fisher, of course, C. Fisher family. Big day in promoting cures and research toward ALS, and I know they keep working toward it, and someday they're going to have a cure, one of the nastiest diseases out there. You'll see it in Major League Baseball today. They will be honoring and having some celebrations. I'm sure something will happen at Petco Park tonight as well. I'm surprised Paulie isn't planning a vacation. You know, he loves holidays like Lou Gehrig Day and Memorial Day.
What poolside cabana will you be attending this weekend to celebrate Lou Gehrig's Day, Paul?
Oh, my God. What's tomorrow? We have the Padres game tomorrow.
Padres game tomorrow. Good, good. Yeah, I don't know that we're going Monday as a show and as a team here at 97.3 The Fan, celebrating a really, really nice number one. It's very, very difficult to become the number one station. May never happen again, so we're going to celebrate it while it does. Going to be going with the whole crew out there, so that should be fun on Monday night. We'll have some stories, I'm sure. We got to help pick the menu with Adam. Adam came in and said, what would you guys like? And Ben wanted all sorts of weird things and all, like, now, and we went somewhere in the middle. We didn't get, like, the most exotic options, but we opted
against the ballpark sushi. People were skeptical about sushi.
It's we like did.
Gas station sushi. Yeah. I think no one's 100% sure about it.
Sushi.
Nope.
What was that?
That was me again.
On the computer.
But but we went somewhere in the middle. We didn't go hot dogs and Cracker Jacks. We went a little bit better, a little bit fancier. So we'll have all that to report next
week. I believe
week.
We are getting the Cardiff Crack tri-tip nachos.
Yeah, absolutely. Paulie and I pitched a
favorite
about
of just
it.
About everybody.
Yep, that's
so,
right.
Looking forward to that on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. Four-game series against the Cubbies. And
what'd you call it? It's a wraparound.
It's a wraparound series where you play Monday through, or Friday through Monday, not Friday to Sunday like most three-game series. You get a four-gamer here against the Cubs. A team that, by the way, they're in last place. Not a bad ball club. There is so much parity. Craig just talked about this as well. You mentioned it when we were talking to him. In the National League, there is no team that is even remotely out of it.
That's amazing to me.
Right now, the Cubs, dead last place, and with the, technically the Nationals are 24-32, so they have the worst record. The Cubs are 24-31, so half a game out of the worst record. Rockies are 24-34. 24 wins is the minimum right now in the National League. Padres have 26. That's two more than the minimum. The Cubs are only 4.5 games out of first place.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking at the wild card standings right now. If the season ended today, and it's not even close to ending, and I hate this game, and I don't know why I'm playing it, Pittsburgh Pirates are in the NL wild card, Ben.
Yep. Still 28-27, hanging around 500 after a hot start. They've cooled off, but they're right there. But there's no team that, you know, we're definitely out of it.
The Rockies are 5.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
5.5.
They technically have the worst record in the National League, and they are 5.5 games out of a playoff spot.
It's incredible.
And that's after losing 4 in a row.
Yeah.
To get to that spot.
Padres 2.5 out of a playoff spot right now. Their expected win-loss is 29-27 right now,
which would be in a playoff spot right now.
Yep, that's exactly right. So they are 26-30. Imagine. No, I'm not even going to let myself say it.
But the Cubs have the same expected winning record, I believe, as the Padres do right now.
They do. But again, this is a team you should beat handily. It is. It just, and I know what our record says, and I know you're only as good as your record, and I know you run differential, and I know ERA, and I know everything else. The Cubs are a team that you should beat. Will we get Stroman and who's the lefty? Steele? Will we get those guys this year?
So
series?
Today is Jameson Taillon.
He's been terrible.
He's been pretty bad.
Tonight is the one you have to, which they've done okay in game ones of series. They need to put the wood to that guy today.
Tomorrow, according to my ESPN matchups, is Drew Smyly against Yu Darvish.
Should handle that guy.
Sunday is Stroman Ryan Weathers. Game where you'd feel like maybe the Cubs have the advantage. Stroman's coming off a one-hitter against the Rays. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to pitch great. And then Monday is Kyle Hendricks, Blake Snell.
Kyle Hendricks is that guy. He's not pitched well, I don't think, this year. But he's that guy that can just kind of lull you to sleep. Who's Snell on Monday?
Snell on Monday.
All right. Yeah, I mean,
all subject to, you know, ESPN and change. Sure. But that's what they have lined up here for the next 4 days on ESPN.
All right. Again, you need, you know, you win this series, you got to win three games. So a little bit taller of an order, but certainly doable for the San Diego Padres.
Got a little update on the ayahuasca front.
Oh, good.
A lot of people are saying that be prepared to vomit.
I don't like vomit.
I don't like vomit.
I don't either.
It comes out both ends.
Apparently. I like a lot of both. Things, but that's not something that I like.
All right.
Chef Ryan says, taking ayahuasca with Ben would be about as comfortable as watching Basic Instinct with your mom.
With your mom. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Why, I wonder? Why would it be uncomfortable with Ben?
Ayahuasca with Ben?
Yeah, well, ayahuasca Tuesdays with Ben.
No, a weekly segment.
Yeah, we got it sponsored.
It could be a new podcast, Ayahuasca with Ben.
We got it sponsored. Yeah, and enjoy. We can't wait for every Tuesday when you take your dose of ayahuasca.
Is that before or after Jesse comes on as the incorporator?
By the time you'll be peaking by the time Jesse comes on. So
we got a lot to get to still on a Friday, busy Friday show. Eno Saris, our normal Thursday guest, couldn't make it yesterday, so we're going to bump him back. He will join us later this hour, and then Bob Scanlon. Having to live in a brave new world of MLB-produced Padres broadcasts. He's been a huge part of it the last couple of days. Get his thoughts on the road trip that was back in San Diego. We appreciate Scan getting up with us. He'll join us on a Friar Friday at 9 o'clock this morning. And then around the report, all leading up to 10 o'clock and the end of our week here on 97.3 The Fan. So stay tuned for all of it. We'll be right back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Today's the day. You can join our friends Gwen and Chris later at Henry's Pub starting at 2 p.m. They're going to broadcast live leading up to the Padres-Cubs game tonight. Henry's Pub, located at 618 Fifth Avenue downtown. Going to be giving away Padres tickets, four packs of tickets to SeaWorld, and tickets to see Guns N' Roses at Snapdragon Stadium. That's today at 2 o'clock. Gwen and Chris at Henry's Pub. And then maybe, just maybe, get to see Manny Machado back on the field for the San Diego Padres tonight. He's been ramping up his work.
Now,
Bob Melvin said he can't really comment.
Craig alluded to it.
Yeah.
Is this all the speculation on social media that he'll be back?
It's more than just social media. I mean, Bob Melvin kind of said it without saying it. They don't want to lock in. You know, Manny wakes up today and he goes, just not quite feeling it yet. They could easily make it another day or two. But I think the plan seems to be that if Manny continues how he's progressed throughout the week, that today would be the day that he's expected to return to the Padres lineup.
God, it'd be great to see him again, man.
For sure.
Great, great, great to see him again.
Nice helps,
guy to return again.
Helps with
too.
The depth as well. Nelson Cruz apparently tweaked a little hammy on that trying to beat out the infield single deep into the hole.
Yes.
A couple of days ago, which was, it may have been why Gary Sanchez was the DH, or maybe Gary Sanchez was going to be the DH either way, because Padres DHs have been slumping, and Gary Sanchez is a new toy who seems to be
they love the new
hot
toy
right now.
Yeah.
So use
keep
the new
rolling,
toy
man.
While he's rolling, and they put him in the lineup.
So we haven't seen Rugi
for days.
Like
the hottest hitter in baseball, it seemed like, and the Padres face a couple of lefties in a row, and Rougned Odor's been just sitting on the bench.
And I told y'all about the it pops up on my Instagram, and I'm not the world's biggest Eric Burns fan. He was kind of a jerk about Manny. And I'm not the world's biggest Will Clark fan. He's just kind of psychotic. I will say, every time it pops up on my Instagram, this little bit that they do together, I watch. I watch every single one. And Will was talking about, you know, the difference. He's a real, obviously, really old school guy and, you know, believes in, if you look at me sideways, I'm going to plunk you and stuff like that. But he was talking about how managers today just simply don't ride the hot hand. They just don't. You know, Ruggie Odor, one of the hottest hands you could possibly ride. Well, we got a couple lefties coming up, so you're going to sit. He said that's not it, man. When you're on one and when you're rolling and the ball looks good and your swing feels locked in, you don't care if the guy's right-handed, left-handed, sidearmer, submariner, slider guy, sinker guy. You don't care. You just want to be in the box. And I understand.
Yeah, but don't you also maybe agree with the statement that using guys in the right way against the right matches
gets
is what
hot?
Makes them a hot hand? And if you start using them the wrong way, you're going to cool them off really quickly. Why would you want to cool a guy off by putting him in bad matchups against guys who maybe he has struggled against, or, you know, a lefty against another tough lefty?
Yeah, when again,
just keep putting them in situations where they succeed and they'll continue to stay hot.
More of an observation than a criticism. I understand how the modern game works. It took me a while. It did. I understand matchups. I understand that, you know, the thing that drove me the nuttiest about Twitter was the people complaining about the different lineups every day. And that just doesn't. No team runs the same guys.
Every
out.
Team runs out between 145 and 161 different lineups every year.
The one that, man, freaking Melvin and Preller always tinkering with this lineup. Nobody can get comfortable. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way anymore. And I understand that fully.
Let's talk to Eno more about this as well.
Lineup construction
and riding a hot hand versus playing the matchups. Because I think that's a big deal right now in modern baseball.
And I think obviously it's player dependent as well. Will Clark would be different than Ruggie Odor.
Of course.
Will Clark was a better hitter than Ruggie Odor.
He was
Odor.
Out there every day.
He was out there
guys
every
like
day.
Tony Gwynn and, star players are not going to, I mean, you know.
Boats never came
and
to Tony.
Soto's out there every day.
Right. Soto's
out
there.
A hot hand or not. He's
exactly
out there every day.
Exactly. But when you are getting production from those bottom of the order guys and those guys are hitting, it does make sense in my mind to say, you know what, man? Dude, you're seeing it well. Get in there. But we also don't know. Did Ruggie tweak something? Did he roll an ankle?
True.
You just never know.
But my point that I was kind of getting to is that a week ago we would have said the Padres' depth is a disaster.
Yeah.
It is maybe the thing that will keep them from going where they want to go. And now you look a week later with Gary Sanchez coming in, Rougned Odor getting hot, and Manny Machado possibly returning, and now you've got a bench with a hot Odor, a Sanchez, a Dixon who is starting to swing the bat well, a Zokar is back giving you stuff off the bench. Look at the Padres' depth, then you go, looks as good as any team's depth in baseball right now.
Isn't it amazing what can happen when your offense just performs to a small shred of their capability? Isn't it truly amazing? And you look at it and that's what makes a team deep is – guys doing their jobs, guys producing, knocking in a bunch of runs and working walks and stealing and everything else. So it's called, yesterday's game was a good indication of what this team is capable of and just body. They are capable of bodying guys. And again, I want to stick to this point, and Bomel made it after the game. We had an approach against Lizardo. We had one. We had an idea of what we wanted to do. He's very difficult to hit, but we stuck with it. As bad as it was early, it paid off for us in the end, and it absolutely did. I thought Fernando's knock to right field, Ben, perfect example. I'm going to take what they give me. And he did, and bam, right center field. That's when guys are locked in, man. That's when guys – that's a good approach. Right center field. There are hits over there. Go get him. And it's nice to see the pod starting to do that.
Going to continue this smart baseball conversation. Our regular Thursday guest, Eno Sera, is going to join us a day late. Stay tuned. That is coming up next. Rolling on with Bennett Woods on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Arms.
8:38. It is Friday morning. It is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. I was just looking at a newsletter this morning from the UT. And interesting comments from Joe Musgrove about what was going on with the hitters earlier. And he said, yeah, I'm not a hitter, but from my pitcher's perspective,
he's a pretty good hitter.
He is not for a pitcher. He's not a pitcher, bad hitter. He said, from my perspective, it felt like early in the season, our hitters were maybe guessing more, looking for, you know, what pitch was coming instead of just attacking anything in the strike zone. And he said, from a pitcher's perspective, from my perspective, it puts more stress on me when I know that the other team is going to be attacking in the zone. They're not, you know, waiting me out. You know, Joe feels like, hey, if this guy's going to take strike one, strike two, I can be aggressive. I can be the aggressor. If the batter is going to be swinging and maybe it's a first pitch, puts more stress on the pitcher that way.
And to make a great pitch.
Yeah, right away and be more fine. And you're always a little hesitant about where you're putting the ball because you don't know if the guy's going to swing. And he feels like the Padres lately have been attacking more in the zone and thus getting better results at the plate. It's a theory.
It is. It's the beauty of the chess match of baseball, right? I mean, you can see that going in a million different directions. If a pitcher's got his good stuff, he's like, swing. Yes, swing early. Attack me all you want. Because if you do hit it, you're going to nub it weakly somewhere. You're going to get under it. You're going to pop it up. It is a beautiful, beautiful chess match. You can't think too much about.
No, ultimately, it's a game of adjustments.
Yes.
If you know another team is attacking, as a pitcher, you can exploit that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're throwing breaking balls on the first pitch and going, all right, swing this.
Away.
It's about to break out of the zone, and now I'm up 1-0 because I know you're swinging.
Yep.
So it's constant adjustments from both sides, and that's why a baseball season is always an ebb and flow of good and bad. Because one team does well, everyone else adjusts to what they're doing well and makes them try to do something else, and it's not always easy. Very few baseball teams are so good that we can win in five different styles, and if you take this away, we'll just beat you this way. It doesn't always work like that. So it's a constant game of adjustments over a 162-game schedule.
You know, and I've never had a problem. I say that. You'll watch Tatis, who's been very aggressive on the first pitch this year. Manny Machado, one of the best first pitch hitters. He likes to go up. He's ready to hit. We talked to the guys from Cespedes Family Barbecue who talked to Nick Castellanos a couple of weeks ago. No one swings more in baseball than Nick Castellanos. No one. And they asked him, why? Why do you swing so much? He goes, when I get in the box, I want to hit. I'm ready to hit. I'm going to attack you. That's my plate, my box. I'm there to do damage. And you're basically a vessel to get me to the damage that I want to do. Don't we get furious, though, when Tatis leads off a game and hacks at the first pitch and Randy rolls it over to shortstop? Yes. So,
and there's nothing better for a pitcher than
a quick out, one pitch, one out. The guys that stand
dream
up there,
scenario.
The guys that stand up there and grind you out and foul off tough pitches, which is something that Bomell was talking about weeks ago when he really got into the team for the first time this year. It was, guys, these at bats are not competitive. Like they get two strikes on you guys, and you guys are rolling over. You are giving up. That's what I want. I just want to see more. I just want to see tougher at bats. I want to see guys not staring at a third strike ever. Like, be ready to hit with two strikes, right? There's an instance yesterday. Now, we were up big. It was no big deal. But Austin Nola strode to the plate, worked a 2-0 count. What happens on 2-0? I mean, they've already given up a ton of runs. I think there were runners on base. It's 2-0 count. If I'm a hitter, I'm ready to mash 2-0. If he throws me a slider, so be it. I'm ready to hit. What does he do? Watches 94 down the middle. And I'm just, those are the ones where you're like, why? Why are you so locked up that you don't know or can't pull the trigger? It's a chess match, though. I mean, and like you said, the game of adjustments is how you win a World Series, by being better at adjusting than everybody else.
Paul, he's still trying to track down Eno. We'll give him a few more minutes here. Did you notice any differences? I did. In game two of the MLB-produced Padres telecast yesterday, I thought clearly the score bug was improved. It was shifted over more to the corner where it should be, not quite as obtrusive. It may have even been a little bit smaller than it was in game one. I thought the audio was improved. As I said yesterday, we can't grade on the very first day of a new telecast and say, well, it's this was great or this was terrible. It was the first day. And the fact that I saw some improvements from day one to day two was very encouraging. Did you notice anything, no, about the telecast yesterday?
No.
Nothing. You're just about the baseball.
I never do.
Paulie, did you notice anything about yesterday's telecast?
A score bug. They moved it over a little bit. It was smaller.
Much
took
better.
Up less of the screen,
much
which
better
I appreciated.
Than the first day.
I never noticed.
You never noticed anything like
never.
That?
Never. You could have a wiener on there one day and then not the next day, and I probably wouldn't. A wiener hologram on the broadcast, and I'd probably miss it. I'm not very observant when it comes to things like that. I'm just not. It's never uniform.
Still no pregame show. I don't know if we're going to get one today. They said home games, 15-minute pregame show. So maybe, I don't know if Bob Scanlon, we'll talk to him at top of the hour. Maybe he's hosting a pregame show tonight. I would think he would know at some point
if he was doing that or not.
So we can get a little more details on how it's gone for him. Step more on his plate, it feels like, for Bob Scanlon, pre and post.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy because he fills in for Jesse when Jesse's off.
Really surprised. I'm going to ask him how surprised he was to not get the call to the bullpen this week.
They needed so much from him on the new broadcast.
That's true.
That they didn't have anyone to fill in for Jesse. So Jesse just had to wear it the last couple of days, sounding like death warmed over and calling the games.
But how
good for Jesse for, you know,
grinding through it.
Poor Annie Heilbrun on standby. Hey, we need you to get on a cross-country flight to
Miami.
Cross-country. Yeah, that's true. I.
Plus, I don't think she's a team employee Bob is. So you'd have to like come up with a whole agreement before that, right? So
that's a weird
dynamic for this week. It was not the greatest week for Jesse to all of a sudden
get sick
for the Padres, obviously, debuting a new broadcast that included Bob and Don and Mo.
Well, again, shout out to Diamond Sports Group. You guys really knocked it out of the park with this bit. Really, really cool.
Oh, and
for
did
everyone.
You see the judge yesterday ruled against them? So
good.
So Diamond Sports Group was asking, not for the Padres, that's already said and done, you know, it's over, but some of the other teams.
Okay, I was confused why
fees.
The Padres weren't mentioned as one of the four teams.
Because the Padres, because they have a 20% ownership stake in that Diamond Sports Group, so it was treated as separately from some of the other ones. But the other Diamond Sports Groups were asking to get a lowered rights fee payment. They basically said, yes, we entered into this deal with several teams, like the Marlins are on Bally, and I think the Tigers and a couple of others. But the business is different now. All this cord cutting, it's not worth it anymore. We need to basically lower what we're paying to make this make sense. And we asked a judge, hey, we're in bankruptcy now. Can you force Major League Baseball to take less, whatever it is, 30% less or 25%? I don't know what the number was. But the judge ultimately ruled yesterday. They said, no, I mean, it's your contract. You either pay it or you give the rights fees back. You give the rights back to the teams if you don't want to pay it.
But also,
you can't just keep it by paying less at this point.
Also, I read your statement where you were bragging about all of your liquidity. So, no, you're not going to get any sort of tax
break. And interestingly, Rob Manfred said, and this was, I guess, part of it, was that, hey, if they want to sell us those stations, we're still interested in buying them. We think there's value there. They may not, but we do. So, and the judge said, well, I mean, if you want to keep your stations, someone else thinks they're valuable. I'm not going to tell, you know, someone else that thinks they're valuable that you now have to accept less money from you guys just because you declared bankruptcy. So, you know, that drama is ongoing. We'll see. There may be some more missed rights fees payments here in the coming days and weeks and more teams that start doing the MLB-produced telecasts like the Padres are doing. Certainly the Padres won't be the last one.
No, not at all. And you know, from yesterday was the first day that I logged on to the Contour app, and because I have Cox in my home, Cox subscriber, and so I didn't know where I could watch the game. So with Cox, you just download the Contour app, and that's what I did, and it worked no problem. Easier than the Bally's app.
Easier than finding Eno. We're going to keep trying, though.
Where in the world is Eno? Serious?
Either we'll talk to Eno,
right,
or on. I've got an MLB surprise for you after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Question for you, Woods. Who is the hottest team in the National League with the best record in the National League right now?
The hottest team
hottest
in the
and
National
best record,
League
both.
With the best record.
Best in record in the league, and they're the hottest team.
The Dodgers?
No. False.
Wait, no.
Technically, the Dodgers are tied for the best record, but they're not the hottest team. They've only won 5 of their last 10 games.
Hotlanta.
No, the Atlanta Braves are 4-6 in their last 10.
The Diamondbacks.
The Arizona Diamondbacks have won 5 in a row and now are tied with the Dodgers, not only atop the NL West, but with the best record in the National League at 34-23, 11 games above 500. They are have proven to be more than just an early season flash in the pan. They're showing a little bit of longevity here, some endurance, as it were, through the first third of the season, trucking along as one of the big surprises in baseball so far.
Yeah, and Adam Jones talked about it yesterday on the program, or 2 days ago, when he was on. And look, they're built for the new rule changes. They really, really have adapted to the new rule changes. And
should we be shocked? They were actually really good
towards
the
end of last
half
year. Yeah, they were okay
of last season. Pretty decent.
They had a kind of a crap finish, but they had a pretty decent run there. And they brought up some young guys, and they do have a good young core. I don't know. I watched some of the game against the Rockies last night, and you know, this is the Rockies. But
they're getting good pitching, not just from Zach Gallen, that kid Tommy Henry, who had a really good start this week.
Yep.
They swept it was just the Rockies. They swept 4 games from the Rockies. But
it's 4 games,
it's
man.
It's a 4-game sweep. Let me know when the Padres sweep 4 games from a team this season.
For real.
Let me know when they sweep 3 games from a team this season.
100%. I'm looking at the series against the Cubs going, okay, like, is it now? Is now the time? And then I'm sitting there playing in my head going, well, Stroman's probably going to get us, and this guy's probably going to get us, and, you know, 2-2 would be not bad. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I watched them. I was listening to their broadcast yesterday. You know, Christian Walker continues to be a good player for them. They've just got a good kind of cast of unknown guys that are young and really don't know what they don't know, I think, at this point. But they're fast, they're speedy, they're athletic. They're pretty decently fun to watch.
Now, imagine that team with Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, my God, I know. Right?
Incredible. And now, all of a sudden, you're looking at a National League, maybe a real contender.
Yeah.
And just like the Padres, though, with the trade deadline, I don't know what superstars are available that they'll be able to add, but they certainly look like they are going to be a buyer rather than a seller. They've been sellers in recent years. Different Diamondbacks team this year. Conversely, on the other end, we know the Padres have been kind of a disappointing surprise so far. Is there such a thing as a deep playoff hangover in baseball? Because the Philadelphia Phillies have an even worse record than the Padres
lost
do.
They're 4-0.
They're 25-31 now, have lost 4 straight. They lost again to the Mets yesterday. The two teams that got the furthest in the National League off to slow starts this year in 2023.
Dying. I mean, if you're Philly and you make, and it's just like what happened to us. You're Philly and you bolster your team by adding, let's be honest, if we had to choose between Trey Turner and Xander Bogaerts, I think everybody in San Diego's hand would have shot straight up and said, if we're going to get one of those guys, I'll take Trey Turner. Trey Turner has not been good for that team so far. You did not expect to add Trey Turner and get objectively worse than you were last year. So I know some guys have had to move around a little bit. They're getting decent performances out of some of their stars, but I think pitching. I think they've run out of luck pitching-wise, Ben. And I mean, they look terrible. They look terrible right now. So I don't know that the hangover has anything to do with it, but, you know, the Astros are finally kind of rounding into form a little bit.
Now, who was the other American League Championship Series participant last year?
It was last year.
I can't remember who the Astros beat. Was it the Rays? No.
Seattle was in it.
They lost in the wild card.
Yankees?
No.
It wasn't the Yankees. This is something we could look up in like 2 seconds, but I want to try to remember it
too.
In my mind. Who did the Astros beat
to get to the
American
League? To the World
Series. The Guardians made the playoffs.
It was the Yankees.
Was it the Yankees?
Swept them.
Swept
the Yankees in the ALCS. Yankees are 10 games above 500 as well, so no real hangovers there in the American League.
They just got back Stanton, Donaldson, and somebody else too. So you're going to add Giancarlo and Josh Donaldson into a lineup that was actually playing pretty well to that point. So, I mean, the AL, the cream is definitely...
The AL is the exact opposite. Yeah, the NL is parity. The AL is Tampa Bay already with 40 wins. They're only the second team in baseball history with 40 wins before the start of June.
So not the exact opposite of what we all predicted at the, before the season started. We said the NL is stacked.
The NL stacked. It's going to eat each other.
Super top heavy.
The Rangers are off to, I think, maybe the best start in their franchise history. They have 35 wins.
Nuts.
And then you've got the Orioles at 35 wins, the Yankees at 34 wins. There's no team in the National League above 34 wins. You got 40, 35, 35, 34. You got the Astros with 33. Yankees with 34. I mean, every team in the AL East still has an above 500 record. And you've got the worst teams, the A's at 12 and 46, the Royals at 17 and 39. You've got some really bottom feeders as well that you don't have in the National League.
And again, the NL West with two of the best teams in the National, two of the best teams in the National League that you're going to have to, you know, think about, overcome, et cetera, et cetera. The West, like we've already kind of put that out of our mind. You know, you make the playoffs, get hot at the right time, and let the chips fall where they may. But, yeah, they're not winning the West this year, Ben, without some sort of incredible, incredible run because Arizona and L.A. are both playing really, really well.
Well, Dodgers have cooled off a little bit. We'll see. They're 7.5 games back. I'm not ready to completely punt on the National League West. The Dodgers had a nice run.
They had
a month there from the end of kind of late April until late May. They were good. They've kind of come back to earth. They have a lot of injuries they're dealing with right now. At some point, that pitching staff, even guys that come up and throw well, you know, they're going to go through some rough spots. New young rookie kids are going to have rough days in the big leagues, and the Dodgers are seeing some of that right now. So they're a little bit vulnerable. It's just the Diamondbacks and not the Padres who have taken advantage. All guests on Better Woods appear on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Had we had Eno on, it would have been brought to you by 7 Mile Casino.
Right, but we didn't.
Just minutes.
So it wasn't.
From downtown. We will have Bob Scanlon on, though, next on Friday. Back from Miami. New broadcasts. Drink of water coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.